Good morning, everyone. I am I'm Johnny. I lead the team here in Bognor. It's so good to see so many of you this morning. Good to have faces familiar and unfamiliar. I was not here last weekend. I skipped church. That you genuinely went to is quite worrying. Kim and I were away for our anniversary. Had a lovely, lovely time. 14 wonderful years. 14. Thank you. Yeah. We give God the glory. Last week, whilst we were away, I was just thinking about preaching this morning, and there was this moment I had, and the kids were away. They were having like the best time with grandparents. They were like loving life. So you know that they're more content than if they were with you right now. But they were having the best time. And we were sat in a forest cafe. And just you've got this lake over to the side. And I just enjoy coffee shops generally. They're my happy place. But I was sat there and we'd gone for a really lovely walk. And we've come back and we're waiting for our food to arrive. And I just had this moment well up inside me of complete and utter joy. And it's like pure sense of, I am so content right now. I could not be happier right now. And I don't know, does anyone ever get those moments? Like, they do come and they go. But those moments where you sit there and you go, oh, this is good, isn't it? This is amazing. We all get those types of moments. And I'm not saying this to boast, just to clarify. I'm not saying that. I'm saying this because our focus this week on the heart of God is we're going to be focusing in on joy. We're going to be looking at God's joy. And each week we've asked these two questions. What is God like? What is his heart like? We've been exploring that. Last week, Simo answered the question very straight to us. Jesus. What is God like? Jesus. What is his heart like? Well, look at Jesus by talking about how God is gentle and lowly, and we see it in the person of Christ. But we also see all of this. Obviously, we see the joy of God in Christ as well. But we're going to be reading from Hebrews 12. So if you want to flick in your Bible to Hebrews 12, if you don't have one, pop your hand up and the wonderful Ray Green will bring you one if you would like one. Because you don't have a Bible of your own, you can keep that, all right? So if you put your hand up and you'd like a Bible, you can keep that. There's one over there, Ray. That'd be great. So Hebrews 12, and I'm going to read verse 2 all the way to verse 4. So not very far. So we're going to go from just before 2, actually, the start of the sentence. And let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us, fixing our eyes on Jesus, the pioneer and perfecter of our faith. For the joy that was set before him. What is the joy that was set before him? He endured the cross, scorning its shame, and he sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Consider him who endured such opposition from sinners, so that you will not grow weary and lose heart. And we'll pause there. This passage is still a great passage to go to when you're thinking of joy, when you're thinking about God's joy. And I want us to focus, sorry, I didn't move, but it's on the screen if you need the passage, by the way. But I want us to focus on this line here. For the joy set before him, he endured the cross. What is God's joy all about? What makes him joyful? What brings God most pleasure? So here's a helpful way of us doing this morning, exploring this morning. It would be to complete the sentence, God's joy is increased by. So God's joy is increased by. What is it that increases God's joy, makes him joyful? What makes him most joyful? How does it look? How does it come out? God's joy is increased by. And when we are genuine with ourselves and we think about it, we actually think it correlates to, it is linked to specific actions. So for example, it makes God joyful when you get to church. We think, oh God, there's joy in the house of the Lord. We sing it. We think, it's got to be these specific actions. So it makes God joyful when I go to church, when I make it to church, when I tick that box off of being a Christian. We think God's joyous when we make it to church for the Sunday gathering. We think that God's joy is increased when we pray really well in hard times. That we think that God is most pleased with us when we are really diligent in our prayer lives. Or when we resist temptation. Yeah, God is, his joy is increased when we say, no, I'm not going to watch that porn. I'm not going to go to that place. I'm not going to behave in that way. We think that God is most joyful when we are really obedient to his word. And while these actions, they do bring God joy, all right? I'm not degrading them. But what I'm saying is there is so much more. There is so much more to God's joy than you think that there is. We miss it because we put this ceiling on his joy. We put a ceiling on how God is joyful and how he shows joy. All of us in this room, we fail to recognize how much joy God finds in our shortcomings. How much joy God finds in showing us grace and mercy. We miss it. We think it's about what I do. We think it's about what I have to achieve, how I have to behave, where I go to, how many people I've brought to the church. How many people have I evangelized with? God's so joyful in our shortcomings. So joyful because he gets to extend mercy to us. We'll get onto that in a minute. So for the rest of the morning, I want us to explore a question. We're using this start of a sentence. But how does God show his joy and pleasure? How does he do it? How is his pleasure to us shown? How is his joy shown to us? How does he do that? So I'm going to just pray for us. Lord, I just pray that we will catch something of your joy this morning, that we will be overwhelmed that you are so joyful, that you display your joy in ways that we cannot even fathom or understand. Will it blow us away? Will we be transformed by your gospel? Jesus, will we see you this morning? Will you be the center of us? Will we get deeper into you, God? Will we get deeper into your heart and see how beautiful and glorious and life-changing your heart is for us? Will you do it? Amen. Amen. So how does God show his joy and pleasure? Firstly, he shows it through his character. He shows it through his character traits, through his personality, his attributes. We are slowly approaching the C word. Don't be rude. Christmas.
Christmas.
Christmas is coming. And often, you'll see, if you get a flyer from other churches through your doors, or you see the churches with their signs outside that talk about Christmas, so often they are about joy. Joy coming at Christmas. Joy, it's a topic we've preached at Grace Church at a carol service many a time, right? And it's a good thing to talk about. But have you ever thought about why? Have you ever thought about why do we preach joy? Why do Christians always speak about joy? Because if you think about it, it's a little odd, right? For most people in society, in our world, what comes to mind when we think about God? What is God like? We might say powerful or wisdom or holy or he's full of anger or really loving or really strong, his strength. We focus on all of those. Rarely do we say his joy. Really, do we talk about God's joy for us? And yet the Bible paints a very, very, very different picture to the one that we paint. The Bible continually shows a God who is full of joy. And his joy is something that he's always had, and he wants to share it with humanity. So that moment of contentment that I had sitting out with Kim, Forrest, coffee, chill, right? That moment of contentment, that ceases sometimes. Like, tell you, it feels like a year ago that happened, not a week, right? Our joy, we link so much to happiness. But yet God, he is in that state all the time, just so fully contented because of his relationship, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. That's his character. That's who he is. And this attribute of God, this characteristic we have of God, this joy characteristic, the reason I was able to sense it or feel it or enjoy it when I was sat in a coffee shop is because this is what theologians call a communicable attribute, which means like this: these are one of God's qualities that he gives to us, that we can catch, that we can grasp and understand, that we can possess as well, right? His infinite nature is incommunicable. I can't relate to that. I don't understand that. I am not that. I cannot be that. Whereas this one, he can. He shares it with us, and we can possess it because we are made in his image. And so the verse in Hebrews 12, verses 2 and 3, we see Jesus, he is modeling the illustration of joy, not merely as an emotion, not merely as that feel-good factor for that little bit of time, but as an essential part of God's nature, of who he is. In John 16, 22, Jesus tells his disciples, "Now is the time of grief, but I will see you again and you will rejoice." You will rejoice. Notice Jesus doesn't say that some Christians will experience joy and some others won't. He's not saying, yeah, you'll enjoy some joy, but their life's too tough. They're not going to enjoy joy. That's not what he says. It's a fact. If you have met Jesus, if Jesus is your king, if you have a relationship with Jesus, you will have joy that no one can take from you. Yes, there may be grief, but you will see me again and you will rejoice. That's our future hope. That's our future glory, because that's his character. That's who he is like. You will have joy that no one can take from you because your God is full of it. Where I fade in a coffee shop, I come out of a coffee shop and I feel much less content than I did when I was in there. All right? But that's not God. That's not who God is. His joy remains unconditionally forever. He wants the joy. Do you know what the most amazing thing is? That he goes, I want you to have some too. I want you to share in it. And so one of the ways, so joy is not something we just stumble upon. Actually, because it's a profound divine attribute, God shows his joy and pleasure through his creation. He shows it to us in creation. Joy is a central theme in the Bible. And this word, if you were to get a concordance tells you, like if you have a word, you can see where it appears in the Bible. There's going to be pages and pages of this word in a concordance, right? It's not a coincidence, right? From the very beginning, God marked his joy in creation. What does he say about it? In Genesis, after forming everything, God says, "And it was good." It was good. And he's not going, this isn't just an assessment. He's not going, bad, good, bad, really good, awesome. No, he's not assessing it. All right? This isn't an assessment he's made. This is an expression of his delight. This is an expression of how much he is joyful, and creation just shouts his joy, and how it just shows what his joy is. In Proverbs 8, wisdom is described in a person, and it says this in Proverbs 8, verse 30 to 31. Then I, that's wisdom, was constantly at his side. I was filled with delight day after day, rejoicing always in his presence, rejoicing in his whole world and delighting in mankind. John 1 reveals that wisdom that we read in Proverbs, that's Christ. And now if we were to read that again, then I, Jesus, was constantly at his side when he's creating the cosmos. And I was filled with delight. He's filled with joy. Wisdom, Jesus' response to creation is joy. It's delight. It's exuberance. And we can think that it's just stopped there. Like sin comes into the world and sin's ruined everything. Well, it's contaminated things, yes. But this joy in creation, it's not confined to Genesis or Proverbs. It's something we see and we can experience in the world around us. The joy we experience in creation, it's a mirror of the joy God felt in making it. Right? Just for a minute, it's raining, yeah? I think I might have said this before, but I'm really going to hammer this home. Right? It's raining. Water. God created H2O. He created hydrogen and oxygen. He put them together and he said, I'm going to make water. And what he said with water is, I'm going to say, you can swim in it. And you can swim in it because you want to get some exercise. But you can also swim in it to explore all the animals of the deep that we can't even see at the bottom of the ocean. And he's going to make it also be something you can drink. You can drink it hot by putting it in a kettle. You can drink it cold by just getting it out of a tap or a stream or whatever. You can use it when you're really hot to cool you down. You can do that. You can cool yourself down on a hot day. You can put a boat on it and you can travel across it to get to another country. Right? You can freeze it. You can not only can you have it hot or medium, so you can drink it, but you can have it so cold that it becomes a different thing altogether. It can become a solid. You can get water, you can make it really, really cold, and you can put it in your drink to make it even colder. You can put ice cubes in it. You can make ice cubes. And not only that, if you get lots of ice cubes, you can flatten them out, and you can skate on it. You can ice skate on it, and then what you can do is heat it up again, and you can put pasta in it and cook pasta with it because it's got really, really hot. And then when it's hot, so hot, what it does, it then becomes invisible. You can't even see it without some special machine. And then it floats up into the clouds. And I'm not a boring God, you see. I'm a joyful God. I'm not going to make water seep up off the ground. No, it's going to fall from the sky because that's really fun. Right, it doesn't seep up. And then, not only that, right? Not only does it fall from the sky, it falls from the sky in droplets, yes. But when it's cold, it says, no, I'm going to float down in flakes. I'm going to float down in flakes, and then what you're going to do is you're going to roll it into a ball and you're going to throw it at people. Or you can build a snowman. Or you can build an igloo. God's created water. It's really cool and really fun. God's creation was made to bring him delight and to bring him joy. C.S. Lewis describes these moments where we experience nature and we go, wow, God's so joyful. As they are glimpses of something greater, signposts beyond the natural material world to God himself. I don't think it's a coincidence that I was sat in a forest cafe looking out on creation when I felt, wow. I just don't think it was a coincidence. I'll say this to you and to me. We need to get off our phones and we need to get in awe of God's handiwork. Look at his handiwork. Look at his design. Go for a walk it's raining, who cares? Go for a walk in the rain along Bognor seafront and look out at all that other water that's not falling from the sky, that's in the sea, and be reminded that it reflects his joy. The waves don't just lap slowly. He gets them to be ferocious if they need to be. Enjoy it. How much do you do this? How much do you get off your phone and walk along the seafront or walk up a hill and just see the green? See the amazing creation of God. The reality is that this understanding of joy can only be found fully, however, in the person of Christ. We marvel at it fully when we know Jesus, when we are in a relationship with Jesus through an invitation of God to abide in him. What I mean by that is that we can be in him, we can enjoy him fully, we can engage in his joy. So the joy that he had before creation with Holy Spirit, Son and Father, all having joy, he says, come on in. Come and enjoy that. Abide in that. God shows his delight and joy in inviting us to abide in him through everything we face. So while creation reflects God's joy, joy is magnified all the more through his offer of a relationship with him. If you've been a Christian a while, you might know what the word gospel means. Gospel means, see who knows, gospel, if you were to translate it, sorry? Good news. We did a series on it, so you should know. But gospel means good news. However, I really like the King James Version. The King James says, glad tidings. The gospel, at its very core, the message that Jesus has come to save humanity and bring them to himself, that story, that message, that offer of a relationship with him is an announcement of God's joy. It's glad tidings. Come and know him. Come and find him. Zephaniah 3:17. He will rejoice over you with gladness. With gladness. He will quiet you with his love. He will rejoice over you with singing. That's our God. That's who he is. So just as God delights in the beauty of creation, he takes joy in his people knowing him. This is what we were made for. Like C.S. Lewis was saying, it's a signpost to what we really, really need. The signpost to where proper joy is found. Humanity was made not as a function. God didn't assess Adam and Eve and go, good. No. I love you. I delight in you. There's joy he has for humanity. We are to share God's joyful character with him. That's what we are made for. God offers an invitation to abide in joy, to experience the profound relationship with him as he sustains us through all of life's ups and downs. Psalm 16 reminds us of this. You will make known to me the path of life. What's the path of life for those who know God? You will fill me with joy in your presence, with eternal pleasures at your right hand. If you are a Christian and you are in tough situations, it's what Jesus says to you. This is what he says over you. I will fill you with joy in my presence, with eternal pleasures at your right hand. We are not made for this world. We are made for eternity. That's what God's calling us to. When we abide in God, when we experience his deep, lasting joy that only his presence can give, this isn't some fleeting happiness. This isn't me sitting in a coffee shop and then leaving and then feeling not the same. This isn't what that is. This is because it's a joy rooted in God's love, God's faithfulness, God's mercy, which endures through every trial. When we stay connected to Christ, we tap in to the joy of God. When we abide in him, we tap into the joy of God, a joy that transcends pain, a joy that transcends time, a joy that is rooted in his love for us. If you're going through a tough time, remember Hebrews 12, verse 2, for the joy set before him, he endured the cross. If you don't believe that God offers a joy that transcends time, transcends pain, and is rooted in God's love for us, look at Jesus. what's his joy? Yeah, that verse, for the joy set before him, he endured the cross. You don't have to pretend life is easy, but you find peace in knowing that God's joy is always available in your darkest moments. Jesus wasn't looking at the cross. Right, that verse, he endured the cross, yes, but he's not looking at the cross as his place of joy. He's looking beyond it. He's looking to eternity. He's looking to being able to pour his spirit out on the church. He's looking at being able to see all mankind bow the knee and know him fully. That's who he is. You don't have to pretend life's easy, but you do, but you can find peace in knowing that God's joy is always available, even in the darkest moments, because we are in Christ. He is in us. We are able to hold on to Psalm 35. So weeping may stay overnight. In your life, weeping, it might have a sleepover. Weeping might stay overnight, but there is joy in the morning. Psalm 30, verse 5. Weeping may stay overnight, but joy comes in the morning. If you're struggling today, joy comes in the morning. If you're a Christian, eternity is where you are heading. If you don't know what joy is, you will. If you don't experience full joy now, you will. We can find joy in him because he shows joy in finding us, in carrying us, and in holding us. God shows us his joy when we abide in him because most ultimately, God's joy and pleasure is most seen by extending mercy. By extending mercy. I asked you to finish the sentence earlier. God's joy is increased by? Well, by showing mercy. This is what a guy called Thomas Goodwin, say his name properly. He's in the 1600s. He's a Puritan writer from the 1600s, and he finishes this sentence for us. This is what he says. I'm going to leave this up for a bit. This is unbelievable writing, by the way. Christ's own joy, comfort, happiness, and glory are increased and enlarged by his showing grace and mercy, in pardoning, in relieving, in comforting. Just sit on that. Just sit on that for a minute. His joy, God's joy, is increased more by showing us mercy than our attendance to church. God's joy is increased more by showing us mercy than our prayer life, than our evangelism, than creation. Christ's greatest joy is showing us mercy. In Hebrews, for the joy set before him, he endured the cross. What joy? What joy was waiting for Jesus on the other side of the cross? Seeing his people receive mercy. That's what's waiting on the other side of the cross. That's what's waiting for. Dane Ortlund, who wrote the book Gentle and Lowly, he gives an example of something. Of how we can picture this. Imagine a doctor has traveled into the deep jungle. Imagine a doctor has traveled into the deep jungle and he's gone in there to provide a primitive tribe some medical care. And they've got this contagious disease that's ravenous across all of them. And he has his medical equipment, he's diagnosed the problem, and he's got the antidotes, they're all prepared, and he's independently wealthy. Right, he's got no need for any financial compensation from any of them. He doesn't need anyone to give him any money or anything like that. And however, as he seeks to give them care, this tribe, they say, no thanks. We're all right. We're okay. They want to take care of themselves. They want to heal on their own terms. And finally, a few brave young women step forward. And they say, yeah, I do. I'm fed up of this disease. I really want the antidote. I want the injection. I want the care that I need. How does the doctor feel? The doctor feels joy. The doctor feels joy. It's the whole reason that he went. It's the whole reason that he came. Then take it a step further. If you think about this, how much more joy would the doctor have had if he knew the people? If he knew them fully? If they were his family, even? Christ does not get flustered, and he doesn't get frustrated when we come to him for a fresh injection of forgiveness, for renewed pardon, with our distresses, with our need, with our emptiness. These injections he's offering are not cheap. This is not cheap. It's not, oh, I'll keep on sinning so that grace abound all the more. That's not what we're doing. That's not what the injection is for. Christ's joy for us is not cheap. He went down the horror of death and he plunged out through the other side in order to provide limitless supply of grace and mercy. There's a deeper point to Hebrews 12 and what Thomas Goodwin is saying. Jesus doesn't want us to draw on his grace and mercy just to prove to everyone that he's died, risen, and brings people with him to eternity. That's not why he does it. He wants us to draw on his grace and his mercy because it is who he is. It is because he loves to give it. He loves to provide that care. How does God most show his joy and good pleasure? Through Christ in giving us the greatest gift we need, his mercy, his grace, his kindness. Christ's joy in giving to us is greater than our joy in receiving it. Do you know that? Christ is more joyful about giving us mercy than we are in receiving it. Just as a husband or a parent would feel relief and joy when their spouse or their child is healed rather than themselves, Christ feels more comfort when he sees our sins being covered by his blood than when we receive the blood covering us. My encouragement for you today is to know that Christ's joy grows as we experience more of his benefits and of his death. I just ask you, come and enjoy his benefits. Come and enjoy the benefits in him. Come and enjoy his character. Come and dwell in it. Come and see it. Come and explore it. Dwell in his creation, the joy of his creation. Come and enjoy the benefit of abiding in him. If you think, oh, I can't enjoy God, you need to know this. Every time we truly repent to God, our sins are forgiven, our hearts are made holier, and we are comforted. And it brings joy to God's heart. When you get the band to come up, why don't we stand? Actually, we're not going to stand. The band are going to come up, but we're not going to stand. I want us to respond in a slightly different way today. And I've asked Kim and the guys to, they're going to play a song. It's a song you might know, some of you might not know it, but it's a song you might know. And the words in it, I just want you to dwell on. So we won't have the words up on the screen or anything like that. And I just want you to sink it into your heart that this is the heart of God for you. That God's heart for you is gentle and lowly, but it is his joy oozing out of him. That he has so much joy for you in showing you mercy. And so, I want you to respond how you feel comfortable. So if you are somebody who's like, I want to stand up, stand up. If you're somebody who's like, I just want to dwell on this by sitting down, sit down. That's fine. If you want to get on your knees, get on your knees. This is you and God. If you're somebody who's not yet a Christian, maybe you can just sit and listen and think, oh, that's nice. Or you could let it seep into your heart and just ask yourself, could this be true? So I'm going to read Psalm 16, and then the guys over there are going to play. I mentioned it earlier, but this is the heart of God. This is our prayer to God. Lord, you alone are my portion and my cup. You make my lot secure. The boundary lines have fallen for me in pleasant places. Surely I have a delightful inheritance. Yes, we do. I will praise the Lord who consoles me. Even at night, my heart instructs me. I keep my eyes always on the Lord. With him at my right hand, I will not be shaken. Therefore, my heart is glad. My tongue rejoices. My body also will rest secure, because you will not abandon me to the realm of the dead, nor will you let your faithful one see decay. You make known to me the path of life. You will fill me with joy in your presence, with eternal pleasures at your right hand. That's his joy. That's who he is. That's, if you get into a posture of worship for yourself as the band sing this song, and let God just rest and bring peace and bring his joy upon us as they sing.